It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony. Don Tony.
All right, I am tired. I am exhausted. How about you? It is Sunday night, the 29th of January, 2023. I promise today I will not pain you with a very long show. My goodness, last night, I mean, you know, if we're going to complain about AEW having uber long shows, then we have to do the same for WWE. But you know something? I don't have an issue with long shows. As long as we're kind of prepared for it. I mean, you see 15 matches on a card for AEW, you know that you're not going to have 45-second DQ finishes or quick fruit roll-up. Royal Rumble, I mean, we pretty much know each match runs about an hour. It was just the after draw. And look, again, I have nothing against this guy personally, but explain to me what the purpose was for Hardy to perform in concert. Yeah, you know, I know it's only one song, and I know it's only about 5-10 minutes, but, you know, what was the purpose of that? You know, if he was performing someone's entrance music, that's fine. You know, if you want to do it on the pre-show, 5-10 minutes before we go live, you know, officially for the premium live event, I'm fine with that. But I don't know. It just went long yesterday. I'm tired. All right, now listen, right before we get into anything, I know some of you out there don't read the community section. You don't follow my social media, so I want to put it here as well. The Royal Rumble review from last night. The video is online, but, you know, a little bit of a learning experience for yours truly yesterday. It is offline temporarily because YouTube has to edit out two or three video clips from last night's review that went a little too long. Now, I'm not complaining. You will not see me on social media calling out WWE. This was my fault. And I promise you, after last night and getting that alert, I've come to two conclusions. Either one, I don't do a recap. If premium live event ends past midnight, we just do it the next day. I'm not going to rush to put together 150 photos, resize them so everything is perfectly centered, cap video, you know, cut it down, save it, get it prepared to share during the show and sync everything up. And then because I run out of time, because we go live 5 minutes after the event ends, I knew the Logan Paul Ricochet clip was too long. I knew the Uncle Howdy doing the Shane McMahon dive was too long. I know even the Kofi Kingston landing on the chair was too long. You know, even the Roman Reigns, fuck you, Roman, that went too long. I always go by the 5-second rule. If it goes over 5 seconds, you will get an alert 9 times out of 10. And that's what happened. Yes, I didn't get any copyright strikes. I want to make that clear. But because we rushed to go online and to not just sit here and talk, you know, I wanted to give you a little bit of a visual as well. The video's been offline for about 18 hours. Now, this is not a money grab, but Patreon's video has been up since last night. No issues, no edits. That's fine. So if you have access to the Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony, you could go check it out. And it's ad-free. If you want to check out the audio version of last night's show, you could go on DonTony.com as well. Doesn't cost you anything. Download the audio version for now. And then late tonight, tomorrow morning, the video should be back up. I know they're about 90% done, but that's what happened. You know, you tried to put too much together, didn't have enough time to edit the way I wanted to, and yeah, I got hit for it. So it's all good. It's all good. But anyway, the sit down is here. It is Sunday night. This will be an abbreviated one for a change because I know we are all very tired. But hey, you know, check out the predictions contest. Nah, I don't participate in my own contest. Check out the prediction show from Friday night. Yeah. We nailed everything. I mean, everything down to Sami Zayn quitting and a few other little nuances here and there. And, you know, I saw this tonight, and once again, people jumping the gun. I don't know if you saw it, but Jey Uso went on his Instagram, and he just posted, "I'm out. I'm out." Now, that, I think, was in response to Solo Sikoa, who posted that he's in with the Bloodline. So he said that he's out. So now everybody is posting news that Jey Uso has quit the Bloodline. I would not be so quick to go with that. Is that the storyline? Yeah. We had this long conversation yesterday that the Usos have to start defending these titles. And they're not on the same page. That is the extension of the storyline. So we're still quite a ways away to WrestleMania. We still got Elimination Chamber coming. So this is not over yet. So now it's the Usos not on the same page. Maybe because of that, that causes them to lose the championships. But I think in the end, they will have at least one set of those belts. They will have it at Mania. By then, I think Jey Uso would have turned on Sami Zayn. And who knows, maybe it's a setup the whole time. Maybe it's a setup all along. They could play that off on TV. But right now, just continue. This is the next chapter in the story. So don't run. And listen, ignore those people that are like, oh, you know, I actually, it's amazing how America Online has turned to shit. Sports Illustrated, in many ways, has turned to shit. Forbes and all these others. They just let any jack off write articles, and it gets posted as like front page news. I saw something today that WWE has a major problem with Sami Zayn. And I'm thinking, because this is one of the main non-wrestling news sites, oh, wait, something happened. I click on it, and it's some 17-year-old blogger. And I'm nothing against a 17-year-old blogger, but it's some 17-year-old that's like, WWE has to take a page from the Daniel Bryan Yes Movement, and blah, 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 and Sami Zayn must fight for that. I'm like, says who? Says who? Says you? You know, no, wrestling is supposed to break your heart. Wrestling is supposed to not always give you what you want. Sami Zayn will be a champion, but it's going to be the tag titles. Will Sami Zayn fight Roman Reigns? It's got to happen. It's got to happen. Maybe it's the Elimination Chamber. I think at Elimination Chamber, I think it's either Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns for the championship or Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline. And Sami's not going to win the title. But we'll get that match. It's got to happen. Fans want to see it. Triple H will give it. But the outcome is going to be much different than what people want. Then I saw today, oh, they need to revisit Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns, and Jey Uso should fight Roman Reigns. That zero new, and I will never mention him again. Honestly, we give him the Benoit treatment after this. They're nothing. They're garbage. Honestly. It's like if you ever take your socks off when you're playing basketball all day long and your feet smell horrible, and then you look down and your feet were sweating so bad, you got these lint balls between your toes, toe jam. That's what that website is. They're actually reporting that WWE is proposing Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns night one, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes night two. Suck it. Blow me. Fucking fake, 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 fake. It's not happening. I mean, when we did it every week, we're dispelling this stuff, and every week we're proven to be right. And the funny thing is, half the time I have no sources. It's common sense. You just read between the lines. These people are just writing anything to get people to click. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And here's another one. I wish I could show you the clip tonight, but I'm not taking no chances. I ain't editing another show. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. Towards the end of the match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens went up to do a moonsault. And he missed. No water in the pool. But it was kind of a botch. And Roman Reigns rolled into the corner. And some goof, just looking for emotional hits on Twitter, writes, Roman Reigns is on God level right now. look at how he rolled into the corner, seeing the botch and protecting himself. Motherfucker started rolling in the corner before Kevin Owens even left the rope. If you waited 25 seconds later, Kevin Owens did the same exact spot and Roman Reigns did the same exact thing. It was a botched spot. People think that Roman Reigns had some type of supernatural, you know, instincts that, oh, I sent something wrong here. Let me roll into the... What the fuck are these people talking about? I mean, seriously. I mean, I don't know, man. I know marijuana is legal in a lot of states. I think a lot of people were smoking it up yesterday. Smoking it up. All right. So, what is the sit down for tonight? I sit here and we chat. You pick the topics. You ask the questions. Just when I think I have the answers, you change the questions. As always, super chats are not required. They are appreciated. They will always get some VIP treatment. And if you do post a question in the live chat, in capital letters, write the word question so I could see it quicker. And if I do answer your question or if you have a comment, you know, and I say, just wait a few minutes, let some others ask something, and then you could ask again. And yes, tomorrow that picture will have to come down. It's a shame. It was only up there for, what, 10 days, 2 weeks? But we're going to have to take Sammy Uso down from the wall. I'm going to put in its place maybe Brian Pillman. I got a cool Brian Pillman photo. Maybe some Dusty Rhodes. Maybe some polka dots. I haven't decided yet. But all right. So one other thing. I got a little update regarding Rey Mysterio. And it is funny because it ends up exactly what we thought it was last night. If you remember, now, no. He couldn't get anybody to go to the merchandise stand. But they're going to show footage of something that happened in the back prior to Rey Mysterio coming out, and Rey's mask was stolen. And because of that, Rey could not compete. Now, if they want to go to another level, they could say that they laid him out, beat him up, and then took his mask out of his bag and walked away with it. There's a few ways they could go with that, but the end result was Dominic took the mask. That's why Rey could not come out. Rey was not going to come out with a bag over his head. And Rey could not go to the merchandise stand because the masks on sale over there are for children. You know, they're for children, let's be honest. So, and I know Rey is kind of like the size of a child in some ways, but not that small. So, yeah, that's what we're going to find out. So there's no controversy. Rey's not going to insist that he was the winner. Makes no sense because until you actually step in the ring, you're not officially in the match. I mean, we've had a couple of moments in the past where somebody doesn't come out and there's no replacement. There's no controversy. We will see the progression of the storyline of Dominic and Rey, and it'll probably happen probably as early as tomorrow. Probably as early as tomorrow since Judgment Day are part of Raw. So there's your little Rey update. So, all right. So before we get into the chat, Ronnie C., Brother Don, thank you. Oh, by the way, thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. Much love. I should have followed your predictions and would have won those contests. Oh, we already know the winners. I don't remember the other one, but I do know on, I think it's the YouTube Elite channel members. I think Rams Fan is the winner. Rams Fan won one of the two. No, actually, no. Rams Fan did not post on YouTube. It was Patreon. So Rams Fan, congrats to you. You actually won it. I'll make the official announcement on Patreon Tuesday night. The other one I will post in the Elite channel member section. So, you know, he's got a 50 coming his way, and someone else has a 50 coming their way. All right, Ronnie C., Brother Don, I should have followed your predictions. I would have won those contests. You were right. Sammy was going to quit, and the bloodline was going to destroy Sammy. What's next for Jey Uso after walking out? That's going to be SmackDown. I mean, they could have some of this on Raw. Because the Usos are Raw Tag Team Champions and SmackDown Tag Team Champions, you could have it on both shows. What could happen is Jimmy Uso could show up at Raw tomorrow with Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman. And Jay, I've been calling Jay. He doesn't answer his phone. I don't know where Jay is. I can't find Jay. You know, Jay, we got a tag team title defense next week. Jay, where are you? You know, so we could see that as early as Raw. But the next progression of the storyline is that the Usos are divided. They have titles. One set of those titles, they will lose eventually. And then it starts giving a suspension of disbelief that the bloodline is crumbling right before our very eyes. And that's something that we've talked about for a few months now. So storyline, listen, as much as I would love to see Sami Zayn become a heavyweight champion, I will tell you why I say no. I'll tell you why I say no Sami versus Roman at Mania. I'll tell you why I say you continue with the tag team titles. I'll tell you why. Everybody is saying this is one of WWE's best storylines in possibly decades. Okay. The plan all along was to have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beat the Usos for the tag titles. That was the plan all along. WWE, their goal was to have the fans so emotionally behind Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn that when they do win, it's going to be one of those emotional moments. Eddie Guerrero winning the title, maybe not on that level, but an emotional moment that will be replayed for years to come. How do you get the fans that deep? Remember, it was a year ago that Sami Zayn was going up against Johnny Knoxville. You know, how do you turn the fans to him into such a beloved person? Well, you need this storyline to do exactly what it needed to do. So, mission accomplished. Just because the storyline is working so good that you have so much emotional attachment to these guys and ultimate hatred for the Usos and Roman Reigns, whoever it is, that means everything they've done extremely well. Why would you start diverting that and instead of going for this, you go for that? Maybe what's been going on the last month or two would not have happened the way it did. And then maybe people will say, you know what, maybe they should have had Sami and Kevin Owens go for the tag titles. Maybe Sami is heavyweight champion and then what? I could see people doing that. Hindsight is 20/20. So right now, Jay, Jimmy, you know, obviously they're not on the same page and they got titles and they're going to have to defend them. Let me tell you something. Adam Pearce, he's going to rub it in their faces. Hey, Jimmy, it's not my problem. You're going to have to fight on your own. Maybe solo fights for Jimmy. I will say this. It would kind of suck if anybody wins the tag titles because of an asterisk. Because Jimmy had to fight alone. Because Solo had to take Jay's place. Like, I want straight up winner, straight up loser, without some bullshit. On the flip side, though, if it's done the right way, I have no problem with it. I'll give you a perfect example. Mick Foley winning the WWF Heavyweight Championship from The Rock. Remember that night? Remember DX getting involved? Steve Austin with the chair shot to The Rock? You know, this was not a clean finish. Do we care? No. Because we loved how everything went. Steve Austin's music hit, everybody lost their shit. So it was not a clean victory. But it's one of the greatest moments in the history of Raw or WWE itself. So thank you for that, Ronnie. Thank you for that. Chris Kutcher with the 1999. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, my friend. Not the main event was in any way a bad match, but the angle afterwards was further proof. If you have a strong storyline, then you don't have to have a match at a contender to tell that story. If I could write that emoji right now, 100, you are absolutely right. Towards the end of last night's Royal Rumble recap, that, you know, if anybody caught it live, you heard it. And, you know, eventually it'll be back up. Towards the end of last night's recap, I said that you want to see how good everything is working right now. You had the fans chanting, "This is awesome. This is awesome," during Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens last night. And if you go back and you listen or watch everything up to that moment where the fans were chanting it, you would look at that match itself and say, what did they really do? I mean, they didn't do, you know, all the crazy shit at the end didn't happen yet. Like, what? That's when you know you got it. That's when you know that you're making magic. You don't have to have a five-star match. You don't have to turn the ring upside down. You don't have to use tons and tons of shit. When the fans are so emotionally invested in what they are watching, and it sinks, and it's entertaining, it's awesome. Awesome, you're not required to do a certain number of moves for it to be awesome. You're not required to have a certain number of two counts in order for it to be awesome. You don't have to have a certain level of riskability in moves in order for it to be awesome. If you are loving what you're seeing and you are at the edge of your seat and you are enjoying it, that's awesome. There is no formula, but this is a great example of you don't have to have an unbelievable match for it to be awesome. And yes, Roderick, we said that last night too. Imagine, seriously, imagine Roman Reigns last night, Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, even Paul Heyman. Everybody that was involved in that at the end. When the fans started chanting, fuck you, Roman. Remember, the last couple of months, Roman is cheered everywhere. Cincinnati, acknowledge me. You know, I mean, cheered everywhere because people see that the guy has worked hard to turn himself into the number one pro wrestler in wrestling. And yes, there are other people who are probably more polished in the ring, more talented, other people who could cut better promos. But as far as, you know, a character to get people to buy a ticket, do this, do that, the guy has worked his ass off. And remember, you don't have to work 80 hours a week to work your ass off. See, some people, you know, don't realize that. So when you have, after all of the gradual, you know, turn of the fans getting behind Roman Reigns, even though Roman was always a heel, that moment when the fans, 50,000 of them chanting, fuck you, Roman, every single person involved in that match was looking around and saying, wow, this is fucking awesome. We got him in the palm of our hands. Because the more you hate Roman Reigns, the more it's going to feel good when he is dethroned of those championships. And let me tell you something. Roman loses one or both of those titles at WrestleMania, you will see cell phone footage after the event is over of Roman getting up and the entire building getting off their feet and giving him a standing ovation. Fans know what they're watching is entertainment. You know, they know what they're watching is suspension of disbelief, but they will continue the respect for the wrestlers. And Roman will get, he will be acknowledged big time from the fans, even when he loses. You know, it's great too. Roman, they could be chanting, fuck you, Roman, all night, WrestleMania. Once that match is over and he gets up, even if they were chanting, fuck you, Roman, all night long, they're all going to give him a massive standing ovation. Because they could take the, you know, step aside the entertainment value and the person themselves. You know, you look at him on the Tonight Show, gives you a little, you know, you already know it, but you get an idea that, you know, what you see is entertainment more than anything else. All right, let's move on, because believe it or not, we've already gone 25 minutes. I definitely only want this to go about an hour. I know a lot of you out there are very tired, very spent. I am too, to the point that I was even thinking of taking off Monday night. I probably won't. I never do. There's always something to talk about, but Monday it will probably just keep it easy, easy peasy. You know, I definitely need to dial it back a little bit, so we don't want to get burned out. Michael Gonzalez is asking, where does LA Knight go from here? Continue to feud with Wyatt or move on? Well, they can have a little bit of remnants from it. I would think LA Knight would like to, you know, address Uncle Howdy. But as I said yesterday, LA Knight's career is not damaged because of this. This was a match that was to promote a product. I compare it to Saudi Arabia stuff. You know, it's the greatest, this is this, the Mountain Dew, the Kentucky Fried. This was just something, and it was, the storyline was pushed. And Mountain Dew wanting to pay big money to advertise, WWE said, look, we'll do a match, and we'll have the Mountain Dew Pitch Black theme around it. And they bought in. So, you know, people yesterday think that this is, it's interesting to see how many people are now saying, is this the sick side of Bray Wyatt? Where did that come from all of a sudden from the IWC? Everybody was saying that, no, it's going to be Joe Gacy. It's going to be Grayson Waller. It's going to be Alexa Bliss. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And since day one, I said Bray Wyatt, six shades of Bray. Now all of a sudden, everybody's acting like they were saying that all along. Some people think that last night we saw Uncle Harper, that Bray Wyatt's new mask is Uncle Harper. Suspenders. He was wearing suspenders. I think people forgot Bray Wyatt used to wear suspenders too. But I don't know. I think that's reading in a little bit too far. But LA Knight, they could do a simple Acme Insta feud. Somebody laughs at him in the back. You didn't get the job done. And then LA Knight attacks that person and there's your feud. LA Knight will be fine. LA Knight, you know, he's not a spring chicken anymore and he's not on the verge of retirement. But a couple of years ago, you know, he thought he was pretty much done with wrestling. So will LA Knight still be in a WWE ring 5 years from now? I don't know. But right now, he's not dead. He's not buried. His career's not damaged. This was special circumstances. You know, LA Knight had some offense yesterday. Actually had a little bit more offense than I expected him to. So he'll be fine. He will be fine. The guy can do it. He can wrestle. He can talk. He'll be fine. Forgive me if I'm drinking coffee while we're doing this. I am extremely, extremely. I didn't go to sleep till about 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. I had to get up at 10. And, you know, I just all day have been just basically vegging, trying to veg. All right. Rocky Red, with the popularity of Sami Zayn coming out, win at 30 and not at the middle or around the middle of the Rumble. Well, I don't know what you mean, win at 30. Not having the struggles that hurt Cody Rhodes. I think you, with the popularity of Sami Zayn, Cody coming out, winning at 30, not in the middle around, does it hurt his status? No. No. You look in Royal Rumbles of years past, number 30 would be set for Brock Lesnar, for John Cena, for Triple H, for this, for that. You know, Cody's just come back from an injury. Not going to have Cody stay in there for 45 minutes. And let me say something else. Cody did not come in at number 30 yesterday and clean house and win in 3 minutes. I said this at least three or four times last night. If you take just Cody Rhodes and Gunther, take everything that they did last night, cut that and repaste it as a match by itself, we would have said it was awesome. He was in there for a while yesterday, so number 30 has nothing to do with that. By the way, yeah, you know, Ronnie was saying earlier about the predictions. You know, I when I even gave my final four, I said it was going to be Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, and it's going to be somebody that that is not currently on the roster, and they'll come in at number 29 or number 30. And that ended up being Logan Paul. So the only person that I didn't mention was Gunther. So even the final fours, because even the final fours, I said it would be Asuka, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, and I don't remember who the fourth person was, but it was kind of creepy cool to see it go down just like that yesterday. But man, Gunther made my night yesterday. I mean, just to see, you know, the guy is just a machine. I mean, the guy was in there over an hour, and the guy probably could have gotten another 30 minutes. The guy just, man, I want Gunther to be heavyweight champion in the next 12 to 18 months. No rush. No rush. When it feels right. But no, number 30 for Cody did not hurt at all. Did not hurt at all. You know, it was good that he's back. Showed no signs of any issues with the pec. He's at 100% and did a great job with Gunther yesterday. Rand's fan is saying Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul WrestleMania. That is possible. And it is very interesting. It is very interesting because you remember about 6 months ago, I put a thumbnail, John Cena versus Logan Paul, and everybody thought it was nuts. And then Logan Paul did the podcast that he wants to face John Cena at Mania. I think what WWE decided was, hey, Logan, we got a John Cena's going to be with Austin Theory. You can't have John Cena. But who else would you want to work? And I think Triple H went to Seth Rollins and said, look, you're going to be heavyweight champion in 2023. Would you be interested or would you be cool with working Logan Paul at WrestleMania? And I think Seth Rollins, being the MVP that he is, I think he said that he would love to do it. I think he trusts Triple H that everything is falling into place. And I think Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins is happening, or could very well happen, because of John Cena going up against Austin Theory, which is the match we thought all along. A year ago, we were doing giveaways of John Cena and Austin Theory merch together because that was the rumored Mania match. So, yeah, I could see that absolutely. And very cool that Seth Rollins, you know, goes along with the program. You know, you see what Logan Paul did with Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. You're going to get a top-notch match, and Cody will. Some people feel Cody Rhodes is a much better wrestler than Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins is a much better wrestler than Roman Reigns. So you see the match that Roman had with Logan Paul. It probably will be even better when he goes up against Seth Rollins. So Logan's already a heel, Nance, Austin Nance. He's already a heel. You know, he's just naturally a heel. You remember when WWE turned Alberto Del Rio a babyface? There's some people you just don't turn babyface. Logan Paul, the fans appreciate how much he's picked up the wrestling, but they want to boo him because of the amount of money that he has, because of the amount of social media followers that he has. I mean, my God, look at what goes on Twitter now. Look at the god-awful shit. People so desperate to be acknowledged at any cost. So now you got Logan Paul that has like 50 million times the number. You know, he's not someone that people like warm up to. There's a lot of jealousy. And I can see Logan Paul being a chicken shit, bragging about his followers, bragging about his money, bragging about everything, and Seth Rollins just schooling him. So Logan Paul, I think, will absolutely be the heel in this. And the fans want it that way. Fans definitely want it that way. Logan Paul will get booed out of the fucking building. And I think he is going to welcome it. I think early on, Logan Paul wanted to be a babyface, preferred to be a babyface. But I think once he gets that little taste of knowing that he's a heel, and yes, I know he did a little bit with Miz. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, full-blown heel against a major player. I think once that rubs off on him a little bit, it's going to be addicting. That guy is going to be a big-time heel for WrestleMania. So, all right. Mike is asking, is Nia Jax back? Yes. Wasn't just a Royal Rumble appearance. They did mess up the countdown yesterday. That was not intentional. So even though some people online think it was. Yeah, I thought it was awful. You know, I don't have the picture here, but the Usos took a picture in the back yesterday. They're with The Rock's mother, another family member, Solo Sikoa, Nia Jax, Tamina. And it was a really nice family photo, and they shared it for everyone. And people were scribbling all over Nia Jax. I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, look, I'm not using tragedy, you know, with Nia Jax. My point is, you see, people say, you know, we got to be better towards each other. And it's simply because she is back and they posted a family picture. They're scribbling her out. That's childish stuff. That's something you do in kindergarten. And just do a Twitter search. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's awful. That's why I really don't use it anywhere near like I should probably. So, yeah, she is back. Is she going to be much better in the ring now? Probably not. Probably not, but we don't know. Maybe she will. I mean, wrestlers do get better if they want it enough. And you know what? Let me say this, because I've always supported her. I mean, we've criticized her in the past, too. I'll say this. She was so hurt. Remember, she had the mental health issues, too. And she legitimately was dealing with depression, big time. But you don't want, you know, if you're a billion-dollar corporation, you're not going to say, oh, we can't fire him, he's depressed. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Maybe that release gave her a wake-up call that I got to turn this shit up another notch. That, you know, you don't realize how much something this means to you until it's gone. So maybe that release forced Nia Jax to amp up her game a little bit. We'll see. So Fly, he was thinking about this today. Do I think the promos Adam Cole cut on Cross and NXT had an effect on how people perceive him just as much as the helmet gimmick? No, because most people don't really pay attention to NXT. You know, just because a small group of people on social media just yell at the top of their lungs doesn't mean it's the majority. You know, and you see all the time people act like they follow NXT and then somebody gets a cameo on the main roster and they act like they knew nothing about the person. Hey, she looks good. Hey, you know, pretty cool finisher. You know, we've brought that up from Lars to everyone else. Like, wait, you watch NXT every single week. How did you not know this? Or how did you, you know, it's him cutting the promo on Cross. This many people cared about it. You know, it was a cool promo. I mean, sure, it, you know, kind of like, you know, he owned Karrion Kross to an extent, but fans just want to be entertained. They don't take it personal. You know, get that deep. Like, every time they see him, when he comes out now, oh, do you remember what Adam Cole said? No. It's just damage control. And I'm not talking about the tag team. It's damage control that Kross, the way he came in, you know, people wanted natural born killers with him and Scarlett. They had a little bit of that personality in NXT that came to the main roster, and it was nowhere that. Scarlett was not featured. He came out, you know, first of all, COVID era sucked for him because he comes out on Thunderdome, so you can't even get a sense of the room, how they're reacting to him. And then they put the fucking helmet. And then he had that loss that time. What was it? Jeff Hardy? I think that was what it was, and the guy was just all over the place. And you felt bad, because you know how good he is. You know, so, we got to give him more time. But, you know, nobody, like, looks at him now and really says, hey, yeah, you remember when Cole's, maybe Adam Cole was right. And you got to see Cross's work in Lucha Underground. And that was many years ago. Wasn't last year. His work in Lucha Underground shows you the motherfucker could go. They just got to find the right scenario. I'm telling you, what I said 6-7 weeks ago, I'm sticking with. I think Cross is, how do you fix Cross? Is he's got to go after a heel. He's got to smack around like a Baron Corbin or someone like that. If Cross is challenged by a heel, I think fans may get behind him. And I know that kind of goes against what his character is right now, but I think Cross going at a heel, I think, would probably help him quicker. Cross versus Gunther would be fun for hardcore wrestlers, but overall, no. It's got to be Dominic, yeah, Austin Theory, maybe, you know, Baron Corbin. It's got to be somebody that people just, that are annoyed by. No, Cross LA Knight, I don't think would be good either. Not that they wouldn't work great together, but LA Knight, you got to worry that he cuts too good of a promo, and then you get 2 months from now someone saying, hey, you think what LA Knight said to Cross, you know, might have hurt his career? You don't want anybody to upstage him right now. You just need a dick for him to beat up a little bit. I think that's how you get him over, so... Yes, I did see that Kevin Milwaukee, Ricky Starks was backstage at the Rumble supporting Cody. They are very close friends. Wrestlers are allowed to attend events AEW trusts that Ricky Starks was not there to discuss business. Cody Rhodes, as we showed you yesterday, showed a little sign of respect to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega once he won the Rumble yesterday, and they reciprocated. Several wrestlers in AEW congratulating Cody today. You know, let me tell you something. Wrestling is truly a community. You see the holidays, weddings, parties. You see wrestlers from AEW and WWE hanging out together. For them, wrestling is a community. The internet wrestling community claims that we're all a community, and we're not. We're not. Because you see all the bullshit that goes on. The wrestlers. And Tony Khan might feel a little uncomfortable because of inexperience. He might feel a little uncomfortable that one of his stars is going to a WWE event, you know. But he's got to, you know, trust that you just don't want to be on camera. You don't want your Highlander moment. What was it, Roy McAllister? I think it was Robbie McAllister, right? Robbie. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. People will try to stir it up on social media, but there's nothing wrong with that. You'd be surprised how much more that does happen. It's just there aren't cameras to capture it. Many times it happens. And you know what? If nobody snapped that picture yesterday, very few people would have even known that Ricky Starks was there. Maggie's saying, what just happened to my audio? I have no idea. Must have been you, because no one else is saying there's anything wrong with the audio. Is there anything wrong with my audio? I don't think so. Look at the levels. Everything looks fine. Yeah, something must have exploded on your end. So, yeah, everybody says the audio is okay. Sorry about that, Maggie. All right, Britt Baker was on camera in NXT. Yeah. You know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's just people online want gossip. They want confrontation. They want real life bullshit, because this is one of the quotes that I've said that was very famous on my hotline back in the 90s. Back in the 90s, when I used to feud with the other wrestling hotlines, I used to say all the time on my hotlines that people baited us to fight with each other even more because the fighting in real life was more entertaining than the storylines they were watching on TV. People loved it when I went at it with Iron Mike, Captain Ivan, Captain Lenny, Dominic Valente, Vinny G, the Wire Duck Wrestling Hotline, Brett Schwan. It just goes on. It goes feuding with everybody, and people were like baiting it because it was real life shit. They found it more entertaining than what they were watching on TV. So that's how people are online. So, let's see. Kevin Milwaukee is saying, did I hear what Angle said about how bad a shape Hogan was in at Raw 30? Yes. He's had back surgery. He's got nerve issues. Now, I will say this, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but when Kurt Angle said that Hulk Hogan cannot feel his legs, listen, anybody out there who has had a disability with their legs, we always tongue-in-cheek with Joey 924. If Hulk Hogan could not feel his legs, as soon as he stands up, he falls on the ground like Jell-O. He has nerve damage in his back and his spine that's causing numbness in parts of his legs. So there are certain areas of his legs where he doesn't have feeling. I think some people ran a little bit too, you know, explicit with it, saying he can't feel his legs. No. You know, Christopher Reeve cannot feel his legs. He's got areas of his legs where he is experiencing numbness. You know when, I don't have a hammer around, but pretend this is my knee. How many of you have ever gone to a neurologist and they go like this? Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit. They hit your knee. And they want to see if your leg goes up. You know, that's, you know, so with Hogan, this is what could happen. Wow, I just hit my funny bone. That kind of hurt. Yeah, he's got some numbness. It's a shame. He's got to move with a cane, because if he starts losing his balance, his cane will keep him from taking a spill. It's a shame. Trust me, it's no joke. It is no joke. And I'm a little surprised. He's got that spinal stimulator in him, the same one that I have. That spinal stimulator should be able to stimulate some of those nerves. So I feel bad for him. I really do. I have not watched the Royal Rumble press conference yet. Last night, I didn't get done putting everything online until late. And literally at like 5 o'clock this morning, I see this big alert come up that, you know, I had to edit the show. And I was just going to download it, re-edit, and put everything online. I'm like, nah, I won't go to sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning. So I just, you know, went to sleep. Whatever they said needed to be adjusted, I did. But the problem is, every time I got up every couple of hours, is a fix. Then they're like, oh, no, you got to adjust the Kofi clip. Oh, no, you got to adjust the Bray Wyatt clip. Oh, no, you got to adjust the Roman Reigns clip. And it's like four or five of them. So I haven't watched the press conference yet. I have seen some of the comments and the results, you know, some of what some people have said. But I will probably talk a little bit about it on Monday. I'll check it out. Roderick Howard, given their personalities and popularity, could I see a long-term Austin Rock type rivalry between Rhea and Bianca? No. Mm-mm. Rhea Ripley is, first of all, neither one have that type of charismatic promo ability that The Rock had. Rhea Ripley is a badass, but she doesn't have a stone cold personality. No, this is not going to be I think probably a better comparison would be, could they be the next Sasha Bianca? No, excuse me, Sasha Bailey. I don't think so. I think the best thing to go forward with this is let's see them work together. Because in order, understand something, in order for Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair to have a long feud, legendary stats like Lita and Trish Stratus, you have to like have them work a little bit and not just have, you know, 2-3 minutes on a Raw and then a disqualification or something. So we need to let it build and see if they click. And they make beautiful music together, then there's always that chance. But you can't look at two people and say, oh, that's the next Rock Austin, because you don't know how they're going to gel in the ring. There's some women on that roster that work beautifully together, and then there's some women that don't click at all. It's not against, we got to give them time. Let them work. Let's see how they mesh in the ring. Then if you feel like something is magical, then you could say maybe that's where it goes. But only time will tell. All right. We're going to start wrapping this up, everyone. We got about 10 minutes left. By the way, a bunch of you were asking last week about playing a little clip of that mashup I did back in the late 80s with Phil Collins and Biz Markie. I found it, but I'm a little nervous about the copyright, but I did find a vintage photo of me. Look at my Puma shirt, everyone. And if you want to look even further, look on the left. Not only check out the encyclopedia set that I had, but I had rosary beads. My mom and my dad were a little bit religious. I promise you, those rosary beads, the only time I ever held them was to move them out of the way when I opened the dresser drawer. But, yeah, that is me mixing. And if you want to hear just a couple of seconds of it, it's pretty lame. I mean, if you really think about it, it's pretty lame. Hopefully I don't get strikes for this. But, you know, like I said, this was the 80s. And listen, everybody talks about mashups now. Back in the 80s, you know, mashups were not even a word. And back then, you know, when you mix two songs together, usually it would just segue into one song into another. You know, if you make like a mixtape in the 80s, you play a song, you play about 90% of the song, and when it gets towards the end, you mix another song into it. So as this one fades out, this one fades in. So me and my friends used to mess around. We used to try to take like two things that didn't go well together. I'll give you a good example. Pickles and cream cheese. I don't think that would taste really good. Or lemon juice on a yogurt. You know, like two things that wouldn't mesh together just to see if it would work. And I came up with this. Now, unfortunately, the audio quality is kind of shitty, but my friends loved this so much that we actually got it on a record, and I have the record still. It says DJ Tony B. I was Tony B at the time because B stood for Blas, because my last name is de Blasi. And when I was in grammar school and high school, everybody said Blasomania because I was a Hulkamaniac. I was a Hulk Hogan fan. So people used to say to me, Blasomania is running wild. So my nickname was Blas. I still have friends now that I grew up with that when they call me up, they're like, hey, Blas, what are you doing? People still use that nickname with me now. So back then I was DJ Tony B, B for Blas. But this is a very quick snippet of it. Just fucking around, you know, mixing the stuff together. It's outdated. It's, what, 30-some-odd years ago? But, yeah, we were just messing around, and I put those two together, and in a system, when that beat for Biz Markie comes in, your speakers just blow. And everybody was like, when you're just waiting for it, everybody just starts like, go dance, like they're just waiting like this, and they would do something goofy like this. Let me see if I could show you. They would do something goofy like this. They'd be like this. Stupid. That's growing up Don Tony, everybody. No, I was not related to the Bill de Blasio. Hell no. Hell no. Oh, no. No, no, no. All right. Let's start finishing this up, everyone. I want to get out of here in about 10 minutes. Early night tonight. Early night. There's no copyright strike, Benjamin. As I said earlier in the show, when I play video clips, I've asked WWE in the past. And I could have asked, hey, could you let this slide? But it's the weekend. WWE would not even look at my request until the week. I want the shit back up as quickly as possible. Yesterday, I didn't have enough time to edit my video clips down to 5 seconds or less. So when I played the one, sometimes if you notice when I pause a video and I'll just talk for a sentence or two, the reason why I do that is because I'm afraid that the clip's going to go too long. So some of the clips I played yesterday went 10, 12, 13 seconds long. That is a no-no on YouTube. You keep it under 5 seconds, WWE usually has no issue whatsoever. And unfortunately, yesterday I had a bunch of clips that went over 5 seconds. And, you know, there's an algorithm. You know, understand something. I want to make this clear. For all of you out there that think that Aubrey Edwards hunts certain shows and puts AEW strikes on those people, that's bullshit. What they do is if they have footage online, audio, video, mostly video, once they see that a certain place is using it and they're not supposed to, I brought this up 2 weeks ago. There's a setting that they check off a box and it tells YouTube that if anyone else uses this, that you tell them, no, 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 you got to take it down. So WWE yesterday put the premium live event of the Royal Rumble on YouTube, matches, everything. The clip with the Royal Rumble, they put it online about 2 hours, within 2 hours of the show ending. So when they told YouTube, look, if anybody uses any of this footage, tell them no. And that's what happens. Nobody singled me out yesterday. That's why I didn't even get upset at it. I'm like, hey, it's my fault. So, you know, again, if anybody is a Patreon, Patreon.com/DonTony. It's been up there since last night, full. It's not going to be edited. Doesn't need to be. Or go to DonTony.com. The audio version is there. It's been there since last night. So you can access it right now. But if you want to wait for the YouTube to clear. It'll be sometime late tonight, tomorrow morning. I don't know exactly when, but it's almost done. So I could tell you that. So, all right. JS with a comment. Looking forward to seeing Forbidden Door 4. Could have sworn a day or so ago before the drama started, so one of the girls upset with Matt, telling a fan that they were just friends. Yeah, we had that conversation. You know, I don't want to get too personal about it. But, you know, I had this conversation with her about this. And we are going to talk about it. Not in specifics, but just a general point. Unfortunately, there are people out there that you meet someone, and it might be casual, you know, relationship in the beginning. And then one side feels a lot deeper about it than the other side. And, you know, you could even compare that in high school, college, grammar school for some people. You fall for someone. And that other person doesn't feel the same way about you as you feel about them. And that has happened a few times with Matt Riddle. That's the easiest way I could explain it. So, you know, some of his relationships, and look, you know, without getting too deep with this, he's a single guy again. He's a young guy. You know, he, you know, is active, you know, in the dating world. And, you know, he's had some issues in the past. You know, sometimes when you have a major disappointment in a divorce, especially with kids involved, you know, sometimes you just want to enjoy yourself and party. And I'm not saying anything illegal, but sometimes you want to just have fun, no strings attached, and, you know, you don't want any drama in your life. And in the case of him, you know, he ended up with some people that, you know, for him it was more casual relationship, and for the few of the women, they thought it was much more. And again, none of them has ever thrown out there a specific example of sexual abuse. None. Their interpretation of abuse is, you told me you loved me, but you said we were going to have a future together. Or you said you could see me in you 10 years from now. You know, but meanwhile, hey, you know, things change. Wasn't that a song by Exposé in the past? Things change, people change. That's not abuse. It's you met the wrong person. That's what it is. Eagles will win a Super Bowl? Yeah, I think they have a good shot this year. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's start getting out of here. Moist Ham. Got to answer his just for the name alone. Moist Ham. Question, if the Saudis buy WWE, does Sami Zayn ever win any title? My honest opinion, if the Saudis buy WWE, some people will quit. Yes. I'm not saying him. Some people will quit. See, best way I could put it is, you know, some people act like they're against something, you know, but you'll see them, like, enjoying their stuff. Like, you bring up Saudi Arabia, you bring up something else, and people are like, oh, the atrocities, this and that, you know, but yet, you know, if they could tour over there and make a payday out of it, they still go, oh, no, we're doing it for the people, you know? But my point is that some people, when they say, I will never, ever work for this person, I'll never, ever work under Trump, I will never, ever this, I will never, ever that, there's some people that truly mean it. And some people in WWE absolutely will quit. Absolutely. I can't speak for Sami Zayn. Only Sami Zayn knows that answer. And probably none of our business either. But yeah, some people will quit. Sure. By the way, I got a kick out of all the cover-up today. Between the Jay White stuff and the Naomi stuff. Shit, I forgot. Wade Barrett was going to be in the Royal Rumble. It's amazing how many lies people made. And there's nothing wrong with having some good old fun, predictions, fantasy. You know, but people were reporting this as news. like, hey, I got a scoop. Check out my Patreon. And I'm not talking about Fightful. Fightful is one of the ones I trust. I subscribe to Fightful's Patreon. They're one of the few that have legit sources. You know, nobody is perfect. I follow Meltzer. I you know, some of them, you know, they're not perfect, but they put out pretty much the right stuff. But I was looking this morning just at all of the crap the last 2 weeks that ended up not being. And the Sami Zayn and the Royal. I felt bad for every single person that was predicting Sami Zayn to win the Royal Rumble. And we even did predictions Friday night. And I'm like, where are these people getting this shit from? You know, I mean, Las Vegas actually made a lot of money off of Sami Zayn yesterday. I'm not kidding. I'm surprised no wrestling news sites are covering that. Because you could bet on wrestling. And a lot of people bet like 50 to 1 that Sami Zayn was winning the Royal Rumble. He wasn't even in it. Crazy, man. Twix is asking me, when will Tessa wrestle in the WWE? I have no idea. We don't even know if WWE wants Tessa Blanchard. I will say this. The years are flying by. She still has a few years left. But I'm a little surprised that she has not utilized the years like she should. Go to Japan. I mean, maybe she doesn't want to work in Japan, but she could go down. Imagine this. Think about this. Look, what happened with La Rosa Negra, we'll never know the truth, but think about this. She could have arguably gone down in top five women's wrestling the last 20 years. Top five. And for some reason, and it's not just, well, promotions don't want to use her. No. Promotions would use her. I'm a little surprised that these years are going by and she's not utilizing them much more. So, wasting away, that might be a little extreme, Iman, but that's not far off, man. 5 years goes like this. Just like that. I mean, we were just talking about Raw 25 the other day when we were talking about the Bella, Nikki Bella's dumb shit. And that was 5 years ago already. Raw 25, when we had the two arenas and, you know, we had the DX stuff and the revival and all. That was 5 years already. So 5 years goes like that. A little surprised. All right. I think it's time for me to go, everyone. So I am going to get out of here. So I hope you enjoyed this a little bit of an abbreviated sit-down episode. I am going to put this online. I will follow up with YouTube about the Rumble recap. I also want to watch a little bit of the Jay Briscoe funeral today. He was laid to rest. I saw little quick clips of it earlier. And, you know, more and more is coming out, the stories of Jay Briscoe. And you realize that, you know, it's a shame that in death, people only learned about the good person that he was and non-confrontational, not even controversial. He's just very, very deep in his ways. And, you know, it's a shame that it had to happen in death. But, you know, it's just beautiful to see all the love and the support. And then especially like I was talking about the other day, and it's so sad, man. You know, we brought it up Wednesday. And now this is 5 days later, and about 95% of those sites have never even mentioned it. That, you know, the Jay Briscoe's family, you know, when they had the memorial service and they said, look, if you're thinking about sending flowers or something, send a contribution to the family of Lillianne Turnahan, I think her name was, that also died in the accident. I mean, that just shows you, like, the type of community and people that they were. And like I saw that and I was blown away. And there are people within AEW and outside of AEW who have contributed to that woman's family. And 95% of the sites out there didn't even mention it. Which, you know, it's just I don't know. It's a little sad. But I don't want to end the show like that, but it's a beautiful service from what I've seen. I'm gonna go watch that tonight. Maybe catch a little bit of the press conference. you know, I got things to do. So, and it's, you know, it's getting late early over here. So it's 10 after 9. So everyone, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me tonight. I hope you all have a good Sunday evening / Monday. And if you're around Monday night, I will be here. You know, we'll cover Raw. We'll keep it simple, you know, so we don't have to, like, really go crazy with it. And again, tonight, you know, the Rumble recap should be back online if you want to go access it. I mean, I was very, very proud with the amount of work that we did yesterday. It's just, again, going forward, I have to do something different. Either we start the recaps 30 minutes after a premium live event or a pay-per-view ends, or we do it the next day. That was just way too much work to do and go live 5 minutes after the Rumble ended yesterday. I wanted to go live as quickly as I can, so I go to sleep as quickly as I can. And in the end, I paid the price for it. So once those edits are fixed, then you'll see it online. So, all right, everyone. I'm out of here. Much love as always. And hope to see you this week. Be well. Have a good one.
It's now time.
That's not right. This is right.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.